Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers!
Cheers! Cheers!
Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy. Welcome to 51 First Dates, the dating podcast. We're so happy to have you here. We also have a guest with us, a listener, in fact.
Hello. Hi, everyone. It's Olivia.
It's
nice
Olivia.
To meet you.
I didn't even say your name. I was so concerned with not saying your last name.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're so thrilled to have you. Olivia's going to be like one of our new dating correspondents.
Woo! We have a new dating correspondent. Thank you so much for agreeing to this wild thing. And if you're a new listener to the podcast, I'm going to give my spiel. This started as a dating project that I did, and Liza really orchestrated and helped me through and helped me not, you know, give up on all the dates. And then, you know, we've had some success with other daters taking over once I, spoiler alert, actually met someone, which was a big shocker for me given where I was prior. And now we have, finally, a new dating correspondent. I like when you call it that.
That came out of my mouth and I was like, oh, is that weird? Is that like...
No, okay. I'm going to take up that mantle.
Oh,
I love
God.
It.
Amazing. Yes,
I'm in.
Great.
I
was like,
official.
Is that like NBC News realness? I don't know. It was too much. Okay, great. I'm glad it went over well.
I'm leaning in. Yeah,
cool.
We are so excited because, Olivia, you had these amazing taxicab confessions. So you and your friends record the first impressions of your dates before, you know, we even realized that was a thing we could have you guys do. And it was so lovely. And we unfortunately took a long time to listen to them, but we finally did. And we were like, damn, this is perfect.
Yeah. And then we creepily reached out to Olivia and was like, hey, do you want to talk to us on the phone? And it felt really like we were asking someone on a date. So that was appropriate.
Yes.
And she was, we were lucky enough to have her join us.
Yes. Here I am.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
We're psyched. We're going to ask you probably like a million and one questions.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Great. Do we have any like housekeeping or like pre-business?
Do we have any housekeeping or pre-business?
Before our million and one questions.
I mean,
I like that phrase too.
Yeah. You know, thank you all. Like, we had a survey in the secret Facebook group about what to do going forward, and people wanted a regular dater, but also wanted guest daters and more guests. So we're just like doing a mishmash. The majority
yes.
of you wanted kind of a combination of both. So we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We love and appreciate your feedback and all your rate, subscribe, reviews
yeah.
and all your follows and all of that nonsense. But let's really get down to Olivia because that's
yes,
what's talking
about me.
Actually, let's. I feel I'm feeling very much like a stage mom or not. Or like, I know, I'm feeling awkward, like I'm on a first date.
No.
I feel like I'd be like, Olivia, can I get you this? And maybe that's polite for us to get you a drink. But just beyond that, I don't know.
I feel the same way. I'm like, I just want her to like us.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything weird? Is this like, we're
No, I feel a little bit weird because I feel like I know details about your lives after listening to the podcast. And I'm just like, oh, well, Liza, I know like what your job is. And Kimmy, I know what you're doing, but... We don't. So this will be helpful. I'll get to tell me more about you guys.
Oh, my yeah.
You more about me.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And including but not limited to what celebrity Olivia looks like, which is what I was trying to figure out before we recorded. And it's driving me crazy. But you guys can't see her face and you don't and won't know what she looks like. So, but you know what?
Here's you will not know.
You shall not know. But when I figure it out, I will tell you. And then you'll know kind of in the general vein of what she looks like.
Yes.
Cool.
We'll get there. I can't figure it
this
out.
This is a really
eagerly await, I'm sure.
This is a really exciting thing to talk about when like no one can see us and podcasting is not a visual medium, but like it is currently driving me crazy. I am working on it. But just to, you know, traditionally kick things off, do you want to tell us your worst first date story?
Sure. Yeah. So this was a date that happened in New York. It was maybe 10 months ago. And, you know, this is probably one of my first dates after having been single again, after having been in, like, a decently serious long-term relationship. So I think I didn't have a great read for, like, what to do when somebody's just being so weird on a date. So looking back, I'm like, why did I sit through this? But
I always sat through
right?
all my kind of bad dates or really bad dates.
You know, I know.
It's hard to Brexit a bad date. You know, it's like you're just kind of like, here
it's
I am.
To Brexit at all.
Yeah, yes.
Like, just kidding. That was bad.
No, it's... Like, you can't do a no-plan Brexit on a bad date. Yeah.
No, I could not. And this guy, nothing happened that was bad, but not to sound horrible, but it was just, this guy was very strange. I didn't really do my research, frankly, before I went on the date. It was just sort of like, I matched, we were both free, so I went. Looking back, I realized that on this guy's Bumble profile, the only word that he had in the whole profile was iconoclast, which I didn't know what that word meant, so I can tell you if that's helpful.
I think I know what it means, but I'm probably wrong.
I really didn't know. So
okay, tell us.
An iconoclast.
Oh, yeah, let's guess.
Okay, guess, yeah.
I just think it means iconic, like sort Elton of. John. I don't know. I just...
A self-described Elton John.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. I thought it was just, like, iconic, too.
Like, legendary.
Damn it. Someone in the survey said we sounded like old Valley Girls, and I'm really feeling it
Someone
right
also
now.
Said I swore too much, and I was yeah. like, oh, I would oh, like to no. say I'll work on it, but I just know I won't. I'm
just
sorry.
Evading
I'm
this.
Sorry, listener.
Okay,
I'm
iconoclast. I'm pissed. I'm pissed that I don't know this.
It's okay.
I don't think I do.
I can help you.
Oh, my God, tell
so,
us.
So, iconoclast is somebody who... like, actively works to dismantle established conventions and power structures.
Okay.
Yes. Aww. Yeah. So
God.
That was a lot to be the one word in your dating profile. So had I known that, I probably would have second-guessed this
yeah.
date. But, yeah. you know, I went. And just the things that this man told me about both himself and then also was, like, just sort of mean to me on the date was, it was unbelievable. Like, just, like, a short list of the things that he told me. One, he, not to like put this guy on blast, but you can Google this guy too. He like, well, he lived in Manhattan. He was from here. Once he graduated college, he started a society of Native New Yorkers so they could sort of like get together with one another and just like reclaim the intellectual precociousness that comes with having grown up in Manhattan, which is so horrible pretentious.
Wait, you can Google this because there were articles about it?
You can Google this.
This feels familiar. I feel like I read something about this.
Yep. In the New York Times.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. See, guys, I am smart. I read the New York Times.
Too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was real. They, like, rented out the Plaza Hotel once in a while. It was a lot. So that sort of set the stage.
Don't Native New Yorkers who are cool, like, have friends that they grew up here with? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't need to join societies. Like, they grew up here. It's their hometown.
Right. Like, you just have normal friends.
Yeah, like, I have a couple friends who are Native New Yorkers, and, like, they have friends from here because they went to high school here and stuff. I don't know.
Also, that doesn't feel super, like, an iconoclast to me. Like, that,
no,
right?
You're
like,
right. That is perpetuating that is, conventional power that, structures, yeah. if anything. Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. Agreed. So that was a lot. Yeah, so that, you know, that was one thing. He also at one point looked at me and we were doing kind of some dumb first date talk where he was like, oh, do you have siblings? And I was like, I do. I have three sisters. And he said, oh, what age order are you? And I was like, well, guess. Like, what do you think about me? And he looks at me and he goes, you must be the oldest. And like, he was right. I am the oldest.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm like, fine. And I was like, well, why do you think that? And he was like, well, you're really built, so you must have had to be like that to protect your younger sisters from bullies.
What the fuck? A podcast is not a visual medium, and it doesn't matter if you are really built, but like...
Right.
I'm sure you have very strong muscles, but you are a very...
You're a very small person.
Small person.
Really weird.
It's very weird.
I think I'm very average, and it was just so odd. I was like, okay, built. Sure.
That is a... crazy word.
It was a crazy word.
Yeah.
It was such a loaded word to use. And also, like, evolutionarily doesn't make sense. Like, that is not a thing that the eldest child is stronger to protect you from bullies. That's
no.
crazy.
No. So. Yeah. Didn't even know your Darwinism, you iconoclast.
Right? Bad iconoclast. Yeah, that was one. He told me at one point that he couldn't imagine me being a good surfer because I seem really type A. And that he could actually see me hitting somebody over the head with a surfboard rather than surfing. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to
say to
this.
Do you surf? Or how did surfing even come into the picture?
He does, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Should have.
It came up because he was asked to be on reality TV because of this whole New Yorker society thing. So we started talking about Mexico and surfing, of course.
Of course.
So, as you do.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Ooh,
it was
this
crazy.
This is horrible.
It was so... And looking back, I'm like, why didn't I call this man out for saying these, like, really negative things to me 30 minutes after meeting me. And I'm like, you know, I kick myself being like, that was so weird. But I was just, I think, relatively new to like going on dates again. So I just didn't have it like ready to say something.
Totally.
And you have manners and you were being polite, like as much as like you didn't have to be. We also, you know, that's the default for good humans. Be polite, like sit, pretend you're, the amount of times I still do that with just like family conversations when they get political, XYZ. Yeah.
Well, I think also sometimes when you're in a situation, you kind of can get in. Sometimes it takes a while to realize how weird it is.
Yeah.
You know, like it seems like and I think some like weird ego-y gaslighty men do this especially well.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes there's like little, like they drop little weirdnesses and it gets weirder and weirder. And then you're like in too deep to say anything or you're not even sure if it's.
I was like, am I going to seem crazy if I call him out on that? Because he could so easily have just been like, oh, I'm just kidding. Don't be so type A. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I proved his point. Yeah, it was that. And it was like, do you guys know the term negging?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, like that negging. It was very strong negging, which is a term that I now am obsessed with talking to my friends about. I'm like, you need to be looking out for negging. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it is.
Sure. We haven't like talked enough about negging on this podcast, have we? Maybe we often call it gaslighting when really it's like that built comment was like inspired to make you feel a little bit negative so that you then in turn treated him in a certain way, which is weird because usually when you treat someone negatively, you should expect to be treated negatively in return, but I think a lot of times with gender dynamics, wow, look at me.
Ooh.
I don't know anything about this, but that's what I feel like I remember reading about negging. It's like,
well, it kind of just like puts you on the wrong foot, I think. Like it makes you feel like you need to kind of defend yourself.
Yes.
Where it's just an uncomfortable feeling to be, I think, in a first date situation, in any life situation.
Completely. And I also think that sometimes, and I don't necessarily think this is the case with this guy, but sometimes people jump to the vibe of like being able to playfully tease someone when it hasn't been earned.
Yes.
You know, like you do that all the time. I do that all the time with the people I'm closest to. Like I'm constantly like quote unquote nagging them. Not really, but I'm always, you know, it's like a whatever. There's a lot of like teasing and humor in most of my close relationships. But I think some people, like I've noticed, I've had this experience with people. I'm such a like goofy person with people pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But sometimes you meet someone new and they automatically assume they can like joke with you and poke fun at you and like give you shit in a way they are acting like is playful. And you're like, hi, like we're not there.
Yeah. I think a good rule of thumb is like if you haven't gotten to the point in a dating relationship when you've like complimented somebody genuinely, you should not be
totally
like playfully joking around with them.
If you don't know their birth order and their siblings, it's too fucking soon.
It reminds me of the whole like snowflake thing about people being sensitive and you're like, I didn't even get a chance to be too sensitive. Like you're just calling me a snowflake because I'm reacting to something I think is negative. I don't know. They feel parallel to me.
Yeah.
Like the whole like, you're so sensitive. It's like, no, you just said something terribly negative and I'm responding to it.
Right. That's really normal.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. It was a funny one.
Oh my
God. This guy's also, he told me he built a sex dungeon in his dad's house that he lives in. I was like, oh, in your dad's house. You built that. Okay. He was like, yeah, it's like 50 Shades of Grey. Have you seen it?
Oh.
I'm like, oh, I've seen it, but I don't want to talk about this with you anymore. It was a lot of information. He slept with two of the Real Housewives of the various cities.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So I feel like he's like also running for the 2020 Democratic nominee. Like, I feel like he's just, like, trying to that kind of person. He's like, I'm going to do all these things.
Yeah, just hit all the corners of the universe.
Be in one of the 25 and just,
wow. So funny.
So how did the date end?
The date ended. I was like, all right, I really got to go home. And then we sort of did a little hug. And then I thought it was pretty clear because he was being rude to me the whole night that he wasn't into me. But then the next morning, I got a text like, hey, Olivia, like, why don't we do this again? And invited me out to drinks. And I just had to say, I don't think we're a match, but, you know, thanks for the drink. So that was wild.
Wow.
Yeah. A big first date.
No, that's a big first date.
Yeah.
And I love that it's so, like, New York douchebag or asshole.
It's so funny.
I shouldn't say douchebag, but I did.
Why?
I think
I think you can say douchebag for that guy. I don't
know. No? I feel like there's something.
There's,
we can,
it's a weird, like, pretentious-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like pretentious people are it's a special kind of, like, annoying and frustrating.
Yes. And I got the distinct sense that he had never particularly had sort of, like, a job upon which he relied for his real income. Mm-hmm. So I think that sort of, like, mindset really permeated the whole entire date, just being, like, entitled to a lot.
Yeah.
So it was a very quintessential, like, New Yorker date. So,
oh, my God. Yeah, I promise non-New York people who are listening, like,
there are nice people.
There are and there are really nice people who were raised here.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I have there's a girl I went to college with who I literally, like, think is one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
And she's just, like, a born and bred New Yorker, like, doesn't have a driver's license, like, grew up on the Upper West Side. Like, it's like, it's not, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not New York. It's this guy.
Yeah. I don't even know why I'm advocating for it. I'm fucking not from here, but still, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think Manhattan children get a bad rap sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know really cool kids who
like good people and for sure. Not, and whatever. And also there's pretentious people
everywhere.
And men, pretentious women, pretentious women too, but there's plenty of, I feel like it, there's a thing of anyone pretentious, it's like an automatic assumption that they think they know more than you. Like, it lends it lends itself to mansplaining, to, like,
oh yeah,
you know, it's just not a fun vibe to be around.
No.
Yeah. What? You don't have to remember for this date, but what's your go-to when you're like, no, it wasn't a match? What's your kind of, because we always struggle around this. Like, what is the text
what to
you
write?
Send? Yeah.
So I think I write it differently if it is somebody like that guy who I was like, I do not like you and you were rude to me. In that case, I think I wrote something a little bit curt, like, hey, thanks, I'm flattered, but I don't think we're a match. Mm-hmm. Good luck. And that was kind of it. If it's somebody who I really thought was, like, a wonderful, kind human and just probably not the right match for me, which I think is the majority of people that anyone goes out with, I think in that case I'd write something more like, thanks so much, I had a great time. You know, unfortunately, not unfortunately, that's really formal, but unfortunately, I regretfully inform you. No, I think I just write, like, you know, it was so nice to meet you. I had a lot of fun. I don't know that I see this going past, you know, a friendship, but good luck out there. Hope you find what you're looking for. Something like that.
That's nice.
I think it's nice to write something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's our thing. We used to be like, just ghost. But I think it's nice to write something as well. It's just because anytime I was on the other end of that, when I was, like, forcing myself to ask people on second dates, I felt so shitty if there wasn't a reply. So you've got to say something.
Right. And, like, it stinks to get that text, but it stinks for, like, 20 minutes.
Yes.
And then it's good, rather than having this sort of idea lingering over your head if you're going to get a response.
And the waiting, the, like, having a, like, just a floating text message out there in the universe. Yes. Like, it feels,
Yeah, you got to close the loop, I think.
Totally.
And you just never know.
Yeah. And, like, it's good to know. I don't know. I think it can be good for people to, I think it can be good for people to grow also. You know, like, constantly making yourself vulnerable for dating, part of that is rejection. And I think I think there is something positive about, like, receiving those texts and realizing that you don't fall to pieces. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not
like, I'm still good.
Altering. It's like, it's a bum. Exactly. It's a bummer for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
To 2 hours, depending on, like, how your self-esteem is. For me, it would be, like, probably closer to 2 hours, but it's, you know, like, yeah.
No, but then when you're going on lots of dates, I found that, like, that hurt less and less. Or, like, I just took everything so personally for so long. I still do. Let's be real. But I also just, like, when you said you never know, it made me think, like, just if you're having trouble sending that text, just get selfish with yourself about it. Be like, I don't know who they know, who could introduce me to someone at a job or who one day will see me. Like,
yes.
It's just always nice. I don't think if you say nothing, that'll be such a red flag, but it's always nice to be polite. You never know. And I hate being that person, but I'm just in that mindset thinking now, what will my next career move be? And you never know.
Yeah, no, it is a kind of a weird thing to think about,
so
but
weird.
It's kind of true.
Yeah. It's not romantic and it shouldn't inspire you, but I'm just having, like, I saw someone have a cool job in LinkedIn who, like, I didn't maintain a relationship with because we had it falling out. And I was like, oh, damn, that would have been a great networking experience.
So, yeah.
You never know.
You never know. It's true. And I feel like part of it, to your point, like, Liza, I think part of dating is growing and getting used to, like, being rejected. I kind of also think like part of the responsibility of saying, hey, I'm going to go on all these dates with these people is being able to very honestly say to them, like, no, I don't think this is going to work out. Mm. Like, I do sort of think there's a little bit of responsibility to just like be a polite human.
Totally. And I think it puts that way. Yeah. And I think it puts you in a place of having to communicate about the way you feel, mm-hmm. which is something I didn't learn to do till I was like 27. Like, it was like, you know, it's like a thing that's really hard for a lot of people, and forcing yourself to just say something honest and nice in a text message and like say something that's not the easiest thing to say, I think is a practice in like good humaning and good communication.
Yeah.
That I still struggle with. Like, props to people who are able to do it. Like, it's impressive.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of 27, will you tell us, like, kind of generally where you're at? You don't have to give us your exact age, but yeah. In terms of, like, your dating
It's 27.
I thought so. That
was your oh, my God.
It was.
Wow.
It's like, I feel like we were, I don't know. I was like, it's definitely younger than us by an amount where I'm like, damn, jealous. But, like, yeah, where you're at in terms of, like, going on dates. Are you going on a lot of dates? Are you – what is your vibe right now?
Yeah.
Broadly.
Well, I have a spreadsheet. So,
yes.
So I do have some analytics on it. So I've been going on dates for, what is it? It's July now. So I basically have been single for the past year. Mm-hmm. So I had been prior to that in a like wonderful relationship for 3 years, but it wasn't like the relationship. So then I was single again. And so I think at last count, I had gone on, this is going to be a very exact count, I had gone on 24 first dates in the past 11 months, so that averages out to about a date every other week.
Yeah. Damn, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Yes. Like, fuck yeah.
Big accomplishment. Yeah.
Already done. You've done it.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, so about 24, and then that's like, obviously there were some that turned into more than first dates, but also when I kind of like look at the timing of dates too, sometimes there's like a week where it's three in a row and then 5 weeks where it's nothing and I'm off the dating train. Yeah. But for the most part, like pretty consistently dating for the past year.
How did you like, that was going to sound like a weird question to ask. Like, how did you get yourself to go on the dates? Because maybe you were in a mood where you're ready to go on dates. But how did you enter into like this phase of going on lots of first dates? What was your mindset or like, yeah.
Yeah. I think going on dates hasn't ever been a super stressful thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I am able to attach pretty low emotional stakes to any one given date. So it's like, all right, it's a chance to, like, go out to get a drink and be in a new part of the city. And, like, worst case, you get a podcast recommendation or some, like, weird random story from it. So I don't know. I just think I like meeting new people. And I was just excited at the chance to like get to go out and meet them. So I don't know. It didn't feel like a huge hurdle to overcome.
That is
which
so fucking
is not healthy. An interesting answer.
I project it. That's why when I paused when I asked, because I was like, that was my experience. I was like, how do I do this? I can't do it. But no, I feel like that's the exact mindset that I want to always have around dating. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Took me many dates to get there. Oh, this is fine.
No, I think the difference is I think every individual date in isolation is so fun and exciting. I think what starts to feel like more like depressing or challenging is that like in some, the sort of slog of doing it like repeatedly without sort of like reaching a goal. If your goal is to find something more serious, mm-hmm. I think that's when it starts to feel hard. Not on a given date, but like upon reflecting on the time of all the dates together.
Definitely. I think that makes perfect sense. And it's hard to, like, I also feel like I went into doing my dating heavy part of my life, like, not even knowing what I wanted. Like,
yeah,
I want something serious, but also I'm moving. And I don't know. There's just, it's, I feel like the mindset can be there, like, broadly, but it does depend on what you're looking for, I guess, is basically what I'm trying to say.
So how would you kind of characterize, obviously this is like the most general question.
Sure.
How would you characterize dating in New York in general?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it gets a really bad reputation. And honestly, I think part of it is well deserved. I think the really good things about it are it feels like there are infinity things to do mm-hmm. and like infinity people to meet, which is so fun. It's like every single bar you could go to, every single restaurant you could go to, there's all these like weird activities, and I like to do kind of strange activities for dates. And I think, like, the diversity of people and experiences that you meet here is so fun. Even just thinking, like, I have a friend who dates a lot in LA, and she's often talking about, she's like, every single person on dating apps is an actor.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to date an actor. That's a weird thing for me. Mm-hmm. And so.
Super fair. We both once tried to be actors.
Oh, yes.
And no one should have dated us.
Both tried to date actors.
Oh, man, that was worse.
Like, several different actors, and it was gross.
Ill-fated.
Yeah.
But also, no shade to actors. We love you dearly, our friends and our other friends who we haven't met, but you hear us. We love you, and you're making art, and we are sad that we're not still doing it.
Oh, I'm not. No, I'm not either.
Here's the thing, I wasn't good at for it.
That's the thing is, like, the people who are still doing it are really doing it, but
it is impressive.
Like, they were the ones who were meant to be doing it, and I was not. I was a fair weather, like, yeah, this is gonna be fun. It wasn't for me.
No, but I think that makes it fun to date in New York is that everyone here is doing something so different. Mm-hmm. So I just think, and has done a zillion different cool things. Like, you guys both, like, started a company and were actors. Like, that's really interesting to even have that background. And I think even, like, ethnicity-wise, like, it's really fun to date people who are not just, like, look exactly like you and are from exactly where you're from. Like, I think the experience is just kind of cool and different.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's amazing here how many people you meet on a daily basis who just are not from here or the U.S. Or, like, it's just really – it always is something I love about living here is that you're constantly, like, working with, interacting with, dating, making friends with people who have, like, the craziest, coolest, like –
Life stories
and histories, and it's a thing I really will never get sick of about New York.
Agreed. I know. I'm, like, still so in love with it. It's
yeah.
So great.
It helps with the humidity on days like today when we're all just sticky because we have to turn the air conditioning off to record.
Like, it's worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun part. I think the hard part is probably the same hard part as everybody would say, which is that there's infinity choices of people to date. So I think it's hard to feel like, all right, you got to pick someone and see if it works out. I would imagine if you're dating somewhere where there's a smaller pool, I feel like it would feel more easy to, like, commit to somebody in a more serious way.
Yeah, that's true. Especially that comes up a lot with, like, the gender divide here. It's, again, I guess that's really specific to heteronormative dating here, but in terms of, like, the amount of men, straight men versus straight women, like, that comes up a lot in, like, stereotypes about New York, but we've also heard from smaller communities that it's really hard to date there because you know so many people and in common, and it's a small world. Yeah. And
you're less anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely interesting. Yeah. I feel like there's no perfect place to date. And dating is just a journey.
Kind of hard, kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do you know how, like, once in a while U.S. News and World Report or, like, different publications will pull all these metrics and be like, these are the best towns to live in America. This is, like, the best city to raise kids in, like, based on income and this and that and housing. I feel like someone needs to do, like, an analytical-based approach of, like, where is the best city to date in America? I bet it's, like, Austin, Texas, or, you know, some mid-sized
city. Some, like,
city,
millennial mid-sized
totally,
city.
With cool shit to do, but, like, not too much, not too little, you know?
Yeah. Where it's warm.
When I was reading, there was a study on this. I feel like it was done by some sort of dating associated brand, so I don't know how. I know New York ended up being the worst city to date in, but I feel like weirdly, like, I think you're right. Like, I don't remember. I could pull it up, but that's also, like, by what metrics? Statistics are false. No, just kidding. Many statistics are real.
Because I feel like Chicago, I think Chicago must be difficult to date in because the public transport is tricky in Chicago. You know, that's something, there's stuff about New York where I'm like, but then again, people are more polite in Chicago. You know?
Yeah, like,
it's true. People are probably nicer on the whole.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, do you feel like you subscribe to the belief of, like, New York men are more likely to be fuckboys than not New York men?
That's a good question. Probably. No, I shouldn't say that. I've met a lot of really, really wonderful, nice men. But I think, just sort of thinking about human psychology, I do think that knowing that there's so many choices out there, like, gives you choice paralysis, right? Like, there's all those studies that's like, if somebody goes to a store and there's, like, 100 jars of jam to choose from, you might think they buy like a ton of jam because there's so many options. They can find something they love. No, no one buys jam. Like you buy so much more jam if there's five bottles of it on the shelf because you're like, well, this must be a curated set of the best ones. And it's like, it's easier to choose. So I kind of think that's probably what happens in New York too, to a certain extent. Yeah.
I'm about to talk about the lowest brow thing that I like.
Is it The Bachelor?
It's lower brow than that, but like almost.
I was like, I'm all in on Bachelor talk.
Oh my God. Great. And we will talk about it for sure in coming episodes.
Can't wait.
Stay tuned. But so Sarah, our mutual Kimmy's friend from high school who's like become my friend, turned me onto this show called Are You the One on MTV. Do you know of this show?
I know of it. I haven't watched it yet though.
Great.
But I will.
It is, the tricky thing about it is that it's not, like, available streaming anywhere, which is annoying, but I fully just bought the current season on Amazon. It's only, I think only two episodes have aired so far, but it's a series where they put 10 men and 10 women in a house, and they've done all these interviews with matchmakers and, like, all of these people's exes and this and that and whatever to try to find, on paper, a perfect match for everyone in the house, but you don't know who it is.
Ooh.
So you enter this house and you have to find it, and then if you find all 10 perfect matches, everyone in the house splits $1 million. So they're incentivized to, like, figure it out, and there's all of these rules and challenges and whatever.
Do they have any idea of what the metrics are for your perfect match?
I mean, I think they know. They know they've been, like, super intensely interviewed by these matchmakers and whatever, but I don't think they know. I don't think they're told.
Okay, so they probably had like eight. Wow, they've had a lot of seasons of this show. I was just listening to a podcast about it recently, and I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah, it's literally its eighth season. But here's the thing that is really cool about this season, I think. Everyone in the house is sexually fluid.
Oh.
So this season, basically, it's eight men and eight women, but everyone is attracted to all genders.
Oh.
So there's like trans people and people who are like identify as non-binary, and like everyone is attracted to everyone.
Yeah.
And in a couple of the sit downs, people have been like, this is so overwhelming because it's literally a buffet of like attractive queer people. And I've never been in a situation like this in my life. And I have no idea how to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm so stoked on this season. I think it's really smart. It's a great mix of like really dumb reality TV, but really progressive. Like in the first episode, they were all like, what's your name? What's your pronoun? You know, like anyway, I bought it on Amazon. And if you buy it SD instead of HD, it's only $20 for the whole season.
A bargain.
Dang. Look at you defeating the millennial stereotypes with your
content SD. Because I watch on my phone mostly, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're not really in it for the amazing quality.
I'm not totally. I don't need that crisp quality. If anyone's watching it, please let me know in the secret Facebook group. I would like to discuss.
Yeah.
Do we... why don't we do like a quick ad break?
Quick break, and then we'll go into your date.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello and welcome back. We got some air conditioning on this very hot summer evening in New York. Very humid, I guess I would say. It's not even that hot.
Sticky.
It's just sticky. All of the grossness.
But we're going to officially hear about Olivia's first inaugural 51 First Date.
Woo.
Not your first date, but
my first date
ever. Never been.
I was 27 and I just took the plunge.
Exactly.
Okay, sure. So I think mostly I get most of my days, I think, from Hinge, like probably 80% of people. But then a couple of months ago, one of my friends, or maybe it was an aggressive Instagram ad, somebody targeted me with this app called Bounce, which is a dating app that its goal is basically to kind of get rid of that like annoying interim part of dating app life where you've matched with somebody and you're kind of like doing this annoying chit chat and then you descend into like scheduling talk when nobody can meet up for the next 3 weeks and it's very annoying.
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah, been there. I feel like 80%, that's a very made up statistic, 80% of dates like just like go away because no one can schedule appropriately.
Mm. I bet that's a very accurate statistic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, like it just feels right.
I've done a small survey. And I believe it's true. So this date's kind of cool. What it is it's only on for a couple very specific windows during the week. And so when you're on the date, it'll say, okay, Bounce is turning on Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you go on the app right now, it means you could go on a date tomorrow night on Wednesday at 8 p.m. And then you tell it, okay, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., I could go on a date in the East Village and Gramercy and whatever neighborhoods that you could get to at this time, which is helpful. I feel like for listeners not in New York, it's super annoying to be going through different neighborhoods. So it's really easy to say, this is a convenient location for me.
Yeah.
So then when you go on the app, the scary thing about it is that you're only shown one person at a time, and you know they're also looking at you, which is stressful.
That is stressful.
Yes. And you only have 1 minute to decide if you want to really commit to going on a date. Because if you say yes, you're saying, yes, I will go on a date with you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. So it's scary.
And what are you seeing that's on their
high end? Pressure.
Yeah. You're seeing the same stuff that you would see on a normal Hinge profile. Okay. It's pictures and a couple of prompts, but really nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically at the end of the minute, it will say if you've matched to each other. And if you haven't, then you continue to kind of look at other people. If you do, then they instantly stop letting you look at other people. And it just says, great, Olivia and, you know, David or whatever, you've matched. You're going to this bar tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Well, they pick the spot.
Yeah, which is actually amazing.
That's kind of cool.
I know. I feel like this is, like, on one of our drunker episodes, something we would have loved to have, like, come up with.
Yeah. It's smart. And, right, they can kind of, like, make some money, I think, from sending people to the bars. It's really helpful to not have to do annoying, like, yelping to find a good date spot. Like, it's really convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as scary as it is to be like, all right, I'm going to commit to going out with somebody without exchanging really a single word with them beforehand, it does get rid of that annoying interim chatting period.
And also it takes the pressure off anyone picking the bar, which I feel like can be a lot of pressure to pick like a place that's cool and the right vibe and the this and the that and it's not crowded, but it's not empty. It's like that's a lot.
Yes.
So it's cool to be like, this is the bar, and if you hate it, you don't. There's no like guilt or blame or anything,
right? Yeah. And it doesn't like reflect on you.
Yes, No, you can't judge the other person, and the other person can't be nervous. Like if I picked the bar, I was always like, well, 18 caveats, like this. Well, okay, or disclaimers, and then it was fine.
Yeah,
that's next.
Right. It's always fine.
It's always fine,
but it's always a bar. Stressful.
Yeah. But I like that a lot.
Yeah. So it's definitely a fun idea. And so I'd gone on it, and it was one of those holiday weekends in New York when like everybody is away, but I was here for some reason, and I had dinner plans at, you know, 8 or something. And I was like, well, I have this app. It, you know, pinged me at 4, and it was like, it was literally like match at 4:30 p.m., go on a date at 7:30 p.m. So it was really quick turnaround. Same day.
Yeah.
It was quick.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
It was honestly, it's fun because it's like, if you are literally already dressed and like ready to leave your house, it's
kind of, you want to drink and nobody's out. Oh my goodness, I love this.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah. So it's a fun idea. So I kind of did it randomly because I'd been sort of like talking a big game about doing it for a long time, but never followed through. Then I ended up matching with this guy. We exchange, basically the app, once you match, it says, okay, exchange one message and confirm that you're going to go and you'll be there, but then stop talking. So it's like, all right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we confirmed, and then we went to a really cool bar in the East Village, maybe Alphabet City, called Lover Boy, which I highly recommend.
My brother loves that bar. I have not been. He always talks about it.
Yeah.
Oh, so they even pick cool bars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was my fear. It was going to be like, whatever place that has a kind of deal with us.
Yeah.
That's great.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, how many dicks? You have to tell us how many dicks you get.
This was really high. So it was, the date was like 7 on like a summer night. It was really beautiful. And it's kind of an indoor-outdoor bar. There's a lot of like, I don't know, just like fun, upbeat music. Mm-hmm. It was bright in the bar, which kind of just gave it a like happy feeling. I don't know. I'd say 4 nice. Out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. It was very fun.
Do you have a taxicab confession?
I do.
Do you want to play it for us?
Sure.
Talk about the date. Okay. I want to hear night of.
Okay.
Hi, team. TCC technically from yesterday. I did that Bounce app for the first time, so I met this guy right before dinner with Melissa. No one was in the city, so I thought I might as well get drinks with a stranger. We went to Loverboy in the East Village. Highly recommend it for a date spot. This guy walked in. He was very, very cute. He was super tall, had a really big beard, wearing like just like a cool leather jacket, which I normally find strange, but I liked on him. Overall, really good date. He brought a lot of energy and like interest, which is always good. he, at one point, it was, like, kind of awkward in, like, a charming way. Like, at one point, he literally asked me, like, what my favorite color was, and then immediately was like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Why did I ask that? But overall, cool, fun date. He walked me to dinner, ended with a smooch. I know you all wanted to know that. Yeah, good date. So hope you all had a good Saturday, too. Bye.
Okay, so bar was good. Bar was good pick. Yeah, this guy was really fun. He had, I think my number one criteria for, like, that I look for on a first date is just, like, high enthusiasm for, like, good, like, high energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's my biggest pet peeve to, like, have brought myself out to a date and then feel like I'm having to, like, carry the energy of a whole conversation. But this guy was, like, super, it just asked a lot of good questions, mm-hmm. Really was chatty. He was, like, very complimentary, but not in a weird or smarmy way.
Yeah.
But no, he was really interesting. He had grown up in India. He moved to New York for college and kind of had lived here since then. So just kind of an interesting date to, like, hear about, you know, what that was like for him to kind of make that switch to living here. And yeah, no, we got along super well. Had a couple fun purple cocktails. And yeah, overall, very good date, which was, I think the other thing too is, like, your expectations are relatively nothing. Like, they're so neutral.
Yeah.
So you don't have a chance to be like, oh, we had really good texting chemistry. And you don't have a chance to get, like, really excited about the date for 3 weeks and it gets so built up. It's just sort of like, all right, I'll meet this guy for a drink. And, you know, if it's not fun, I have invested literally 2 minutes into this.
Yeah. It feels like an old school style blind date. Like,
yes.
Of another time, like something that doesn't exist now, of just like, we haven't talked, we haven't done the whole, like, let's move to text, we haven't, whatever. It's just, hi, this time, meet, go.
Yeah.
Do I like you?
Totally. I remember the only truly blind date I ever had been on in my entire life was when I did the timeout undateables thing.
Mm.
Shame, shame, shame. But it was just like, there's going to be a person, there's going to be someone there to introduce you, which is weird. This app is much better, I would say, that you, like, kind of have a sense of each other. And that's it. Like, it was like, I didn't even know what he looked like. It was like, we will see. Because they picked the place, too, and they picked a terrible place. I was like, what was it again?
Where oh, it was like,
Dos Toros.
No!
Like, one with, like, no drinks. Like, I told someone from Time Out that after or someone, and they were like, oh, my God, we're mortified. Like, when I went to take the picture or something. Yeah. Because they later were like, can we put your face on the cover of Time Out? We're doing all the undateables of the year. You probably saw it. I was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Like, I'm dating someone now and no.
Oh my God, that's getting my
undateable. Like, they did like
a grid. Pretty,
like a grid. Thank you.
Also, if you're not in New York, it's basically Dos Toros is like a slightly nicer Chipotle, but it's the same thing.
Slightly.
Like, you walk through the line and they put stuff in a bowl for you. It's not a restaurant. It's a fast food. Like, it's good. Now, I'm not shading Dos Toros, but it's like good if you want to get a taco bowl to sneak into the movie theater. Which, you know,
like, did you like get burrito bowls on the date?
We got tacos and it was so hard to eat. And I lied because I did get a Corona, but then he didn't get a drink. And oh boy, just was like trying to make it more datey. And like, you feel, I don't know.
Did your chaperone, like, from Time Out stay? Okay.
They leave. They pay for it and leave. It's, looking back, that was a horrible experience. I found out, very quickly, too, that we had, like, my old editor from when I was writing knew him. And then I felt like, oh, my God, it's not truly, like, a stranger. And he was so sweet. It was just like, no, okay.
This app
is the better version of that. What I did like was that I had no expectations going in. So it's just like, here I am, I'm on a date.
Here's a person.
So, totally.
Yes. It's like sink or swim, like we're gonna like each other or not.
Like we don't feel any like obligation to each other. I feel like just so often, and I get it because this is how I typically have felt while dating, like a lot of what we hear about people's experiences and what we all feel as humans is we take things semi-seriously once we've had any kind of established connection, even if it's just messaging with someone, not super seriously, just like a little bit. It's easier to get a little bit hurt by someone's, or like they were kind of shitty on a first date, and no one should be shitty on a first date, but just all of those little ways we tell ourselves, I don't know, it's something maybe a little bit more than a first date you can't really do if you have that limited of an interaction.
Yeah. It's like anything that turns out to be fun on a date like that is just such a nice, pleasant surprise. And if it's not, it's like, well, you know, not a huge investment of your time or feelings.
Mm. God, bounce. Bounce. There you go.
Need to support this podcast.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Really, like, a fan of the product. They promise they have not endorsed us.
No.
They have not done anything. Sorry. I hadn't heard of them before tonight.
I'm an ambassador.
Amazing. What were there any awkward points or, like, low points of the date?
Well, this is one that is a little bit awkward for me. This is a me problem. Like, I am a monster about this. I am not actually somebody who, like, loves dogs. I'm sorry to Chloe. She's in the room. I just do not. Like, they're fine, but I don't love them. This guy basically opened with, like, you know, it was a Saturday, and I was like, what were you doing today? He's like, I love dogs more than anything. I volunteer every Saturday at this, like, dog adoption thing. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to drop that. I don't love them now, but I often have to, like, keep that in and not
you
tell people about
though.
It.
As, like, one who went from non-dog lover to more dog lover.
Ooh.
Because I was bit by a dog when I was little, and then I
you
was
have
scared.
A reason that.
Yeah, but
I
then,
don't.
Like, my family, like, it's just a whole, now I love dogs. But, like, even if you don't, I don't know. There is as much as I love dogs, we have, like, a pretty aggressive culture as Americans about you must love dogs.
It's true.
Oh, God, must love dogs.
No, but, I mean, if that's the low point on a date, like, it's a pretty good date. It was admittedly a really fun date, and I think it had been, like, a long time since I'd been on a date being like, oh, I really want to see this person again. So just a fun kind of, like, refreshing date after a string of, like, meh experiences.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, without any spoilers, have you seen him again or are you going to see him again?
Yes. We went out again like the weekend after, and we went to – right around here, actually. We went to Gallo Green.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I really like it up there. It's such a weird hidden gem.
It's a good vibe up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always like, oh, like,
I never want to go
because
it seems touristy.
And then you go up there and you're like, oh, this is, like, kind of lovely.
It's extremely pleasant.
So how do we describe it to non-New Yorkers? It's a rooftop that is at Sleep No More, so can be touristy.
Yeah, it's at, like, it's a rooftop
or
of, like,
where Sleep No More was. Is Sleep No More still there?
It is. It's okay. Like, a Sleep No More is, like, a play performance thing in, like, this big weird build. It's a rooftop restaurant without, like, an entry, but a lot of people go to this show and then go to it.
Yeah.
But every time I've been there, it's been not crowded, and the food's totally decent, and there's, like, lots of flowers and arbors, and it's, like, it's also, like, a non-sceney rooftop, which for me, like, I hate anything sceney. Like, it really makes me feel unhappy. It's nice. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just in this, like, giant garden on top of a roof. It doesn't really feel like you're at a bar, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I like it there.
I want to do, like, almost rewatchable style. This is something we can develop. Maybe I'll post about this in the secret Facebook group. I want to do, like, a quiz about first dates, like, the categories. Like, I want to be like, what's the high point? What's the low point? Was there a kiss? What, you know what I mean? Like, all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
hit the spreadsheet fields.
Did you shake hands? Exactly. Basically the spreadsheet fields.
The spreadsheet fields. Oh, yes. Because we love promoting the Ringer podcast, also not a sponsor,
so
but the rewatchables, they rewatch movies. And then have, like, different categories, like the Dion Waiters.
Yeah,
like,
and it's, like,
check,
totally.
Which means, like, it's a sports reference, and I think it's, like, you have a small part, and then you do a really good job. Things like that. So we could have our own version.
Yeah.
Ooh,
let's
love
develop
it.
A quiz.
Ooh.
We'll come up with the things. We'll do it
what
off.
What was the last one you just said? Was there a handshake?
Was there? Okay.
Is that common?
We had some date. I think we had a guest date around, or it was in a worst first date about
where it was
going
Kenny.
To meet someone. It might have been Kenny. And when they approached, they shook hands. It was
that.
Definitely Kenny. Yeah.
And was that, it was like a walk date or something? Like a walking
yes.
date?
Yeah. He went on a walk date.
Oh, a handshake.
She shook hands. Oh. So weird.
So weird.
Like, that's the most
but respectful.
Totally.
But respectful. And, like, I fucking get it. I was always such a weirdo at the end of the date around kissing and hugging and saying goodbye. And, like, I could see myself throwing out an accidental handshake. I wonder if I did. If you're out there listening.
A handshake to start is better than a handshake to end.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think
the firm handshake would be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also as good as just telling someone, great, I don't think this is a match. That's your text right there. You don't have to do it. You're just saying, okay, thank you. And
let's keep this professional.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you can add me on LinkedIn if anything. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Not a lot of runway after a handshake.
Yeah, for sure.
No.
Cool. Well, I'm so glad it was, like, a good refreshing palate cleanser date.
Yeah, for sure.
We have many more dates to talk to Olivia about, but some of them are super weird and bizarre and hilarious. We've already heard the taxicab confessions from them. So, you know, stay tuned and we'll hear more. Yeah.
Send in weird date ideas. I will do strange yeah. activities. If anyone has good creative New York ideas, I'm game to do.
Oh my God.
As a teaser,
Olivia, so when she emailed us with her taxicab confessions, she went on, I'm not going to say what it is, because, like, come back. Maybe we'll talk about this one next time.
Oh, sure.
But she went on truly the, like, most brave first date, activity date I could ever possibly imagine going on.
Yes, agreed. Wow. And, oh, if you're – I want to know what our listeners are thinking. So if you've had a brave activity date, we've gotten a couple. It's not that same activity. We've gotten, like, whitewater rafting.
Yeah. Ooh.
Different kind of brave, I would
totally.
Say.
Totally. You know what?
Physically brave. I'm starting to give things away. But if you have guesses, tell us.
Totally. Ooh. I feel like a good place to mine activity dates is from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette franchise.
Yeah.
They're always doing activity dates, and they're so weird. And I'm not going to advocate for, like, naked bungee jumping. Yeah, okay.
Bungee jumping, but make it naked.
Exactly. Like, okay. Like, we're in. But, like, they always are just doing things where I think it's – sometimes it's cool and sometimes extremely forced, but a lot of times it's cool, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I really want to date and do that.
And even if it's a weird activity, I think that can also tell you a lot about a person.
Totally.
You just make yourself, like, a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, like, how they react to being in situations that are outside of their kind of norm. Like, I feel like that says so much about a human.
Yeah, I think anyone can be, like, kind of cool on a drinks date, right? Like, it's just not that challenging to be, like, conversational. I think any normal adults can hang out for 90 minutes together and have, like, a very pleasant time. So I think if you kind of force it to be, like, an activity or somewhere unusual, a breakfast date is another option for something different. I think that forces people to get, like, a little bit more creative and just, like, act differently.
And also break out of the, like, the first date self you project. Yeah. You know, I think everyone probably does that. You know, people who are super duper, like, normal and healthy and whatever. Mm-hmm. In the same way, the first time you meet someone or when you go on an interview, you're putting on, like, a little bit of your best self. You put on the tap shoes a little bit and, like, break out the cane and the top hat and are like, this is, like, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
I think that when you're doing an activity, it's really hard to, like, be so conscious of what you're showing.
Yeah.
Because you just have to kind of be doing stuff and be in the moment. And it's, I think, really easy for the actual you to come out.
Yeah.
And not the so polished first date you or whatever.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, like, first date content that everybody has. And you're kind of like, okay, I know these stories land.
Totally.
I know these are kind of the little quips to make. And I find myself doing that.
Of course.
It's not that I don't love it about myself, but it's kind of an easier thing to do when you're doing a lot of these dates.
Yes.
But I think putting yourself into a situation where you just have to, like, react to something strange lets you be a little more authentic.
Totally.
And not rely on your content.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's cool.
I used to say the same things over and over. And yeah, I'm just having a feeling of, I like that you want to, you know, do adventurous things. Guys, basically, Olivia's going to do a much better job of this than I ever
attended. You were successful, though, so good job.
Yeah, we call that success. I mean, love him, but, you know, it's not all about finding a relationship. It's about the content, man.
The journey.
Yeah, this is a podcast. No, just
like, it's about the weirdness of the
activities. If you meet someone tomorrow and you're like, that's it, it'll be fine. We'll be like, told you so.
I mean, with our track record, that will happen.
Great.
You're going to be, you know.
Olivia's already been doing this in such a positive way.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, no. Okay.
You're like, except not for you.
No. Sorry. Not way. I just mean, like, you've been doing this without us being like, we're always like, it's our brilliant idea that we make people go on lots of dates. And we're like, oh, yeah, some people are just doing this.
No, but I have been listening for a long time. So
okay.
I will not pretend, like, listening to you guys talk about this for a long time has not also inspired me to be more proactive about it. So.
Aw, that makes me so happy.
Of course.
Amazing.
For sure.
I was just fishing for a compliment.
On that lovely note, thank you so much for joining us, Olivia.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Yeah. And, you know, you can follow us at 51firstdatespod. Email us your worst first date stories at 51firstdatespod@gmail.com. Join our secret Facebook group.
Tell us your feelings.
Tell us your thoughts.
Tell us your weird date ideas.
Yes, your weird date ideas
for Olivia. And really just, like, let us know what you're interested in hearing about next, too, in terms of guests outside of just Olivia, like experts, etc. We know that there were different people requested, like single moms dating, etc. And we have really cool guests coming on to talk about that stuff in the future. In the future, in this month. So that's exciting. So thank you for the suggestions. We love you. And we love you, Olivia. Thank you for doing this.
Of course.
Wild thing. And I think you all should go on a date.
Go on a date.
Go on a date.
Yay! Yay!